Welcome to another episode of Managing Change on Internet Blog Talk Radio, your host, Ronald Allen. This is home for truly engaging conversation. Managing Change brings you an eclectic perspective on issues that affect you, the individual, the family nucleus, careers, business, and that entrepreneurial spirit that is uniquely American. And yes, a word or two about life's perspectives on managing change for that human touch that drives us to unique heights of accomplishment. Carve out the time every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. for Managing Change on internetblogtalkradio.com. Search Managing Change with your host, Ronald Allen. Now, also here at www.managingchange2.com. Internet radio at its best.
Good evening and welcome to the Managed Page. And every Tuesday and Thursday evening, we bring you an eclectic perspective on all things about change. You know, we always and recognize that change is certainly starts with you, the individual. You perceive give meaning to what you're going through, certainly the psychology of the fact. Family dynamics, that is probably the earliest influencer on us, children, young adults, certainly as we forge our way into our own family. That dynamic, you'll know, has changed radically in the last 10 to 15 years. Of course, business, entrepreneurship, as an influencer, find that probably the most exciting and stimulating. Moreover, because of technology, we find that those who are senior, we care to go back and forge those skills that we have had, we've developed, we find that we're probably in the best position to take advantage of our next. It's just been, shall we say, seasoned. And of course, looking back, that perspective, all about change. Even that has changed, because think, instead of just looking back saying what has passed, because we're living longer, we have more ability to reach different populations than we've seen before, and the climate for engagement is fully charged, we can bring great opportunities, create great opportunities for ourselves, those with similar and differing opinions, and begin to really generate some interesting conversation. We've seen incredible technology. Talking about technology, you know we're going to have a gentleman called Jim Lee. He is a certified financial planner. He's also a chartered accountant. But what on earth has that got to do with technology? It has everything. When you hear him talk and listen to his presentation, which is entitled Technology Things, you'll realize that investment opportunities are technology that's coming out of the minds of people. Really, talking about incredible, tonight's guest, we have Dr. Renee Galloway, professor at the Pittsburgh University. She is the director for Supplier Diversity and Sustainability Coordinator. She is the partner at Express Purchasing Department in the Express Purchasing Department. And the reason why I'm speaking with her today, in addition to March 31st, City, annual Supplier Diversity Conference. She is also an author. She's also a certified coach. So what she brings to the table for small, middle-market companies, owners, executive directors, and those forging their way through life's challenges, is a true grounded education and experience in making your business viable while managing yourself. I'll say this properly. So, without further ado, Dr. Galloway, how are you this evening?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Thank you for inviting me to be with you all this evening.
Absolutely, and we are going to open up the phones tonight. The phone lines, 347 843 4378 for those who would like to speak to Dr. Galloway. And for those who would like to send in a chat, a lot of times we get people shooting us emails and texts. I guess, you know, people are a little shy and want to be a little anonymous, and that's fine. You can certainly go to Blog Talk Radio, go to search Manage Change, Genius Change, and you'll see our chat room is out. Issues with that, so we'll turn that off for a while. But tonight we're going to be full blast. So, Dr. Galloway, your expertise is certainly in planning, performing, and supporting businesses in the area of procurement. Can we just start off a little bit with some of the personality challenges that people bring to their profession, even though they want to start a business in fashion design? Or maybe they are great at shipping, you know, shipping goods to diverse locations. Maybe they're business consultants, helping companies in specific industry groups. Yet what I've found from your book is that there is a precursor to being successful in executing business strategies, and that is managing ourselves. Can we just open up the conversation with that first?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I find a lot of times when I'm working with businesses that their personal lives, we want to manage just the business side and never take into consideration how our personal lives really do intermesh with our business lives. Because if we're leading a harried personal life, it will transcend into our businesses, because I've met with, had appointments with different clients, and they were intentional about getting to, you know, to talk to me, but so many things were going on, they had to schedule and reschedule and cancel, and so that's how I end up, you know, kind of working on this book was just the difference, the taking the personal side and meshing that with our business lives. No, they are not two separate. We are only one person, but we just have dual roles.
Absolutely. Notice in your signature email, you have a saying, old friend of mine, Sir Winston Churchill, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. In business, it seems our primary focus is making the sale, getting the contract, closing that deal. What is your perspective in this quote that Sir Winston Churchill, and again, your observations of how people manage?
What I would say to the Winston Churchill quote is, I again find suppliers who actually come in and they are trying to get that bottom line sale, but instead I believe they should come in with a focus on understanding the client, understanding the customer. It should be a win-win situation. While coming to me to get a purchase order or a contract is certainly the bottom line goal, but I can always tell when a supplier comes in prepared because they've already done their research and their homework on the company, and they say, okay, I see this is how you operate in this area, and here is how my product or service can enhance that area of your business. Because you have to come in knowing your customer.
Absolutely. And in knowing your customer, I see that you have spent quite a bit of time in the purchasing environment. You worked as a commodity analyst. How did that help you understand the e-procurement system, if that's what you seem to be doing? Because now today, most of the transactions, certainly with the larger suppliers, federal and private corporations, they want these suppliers, those providing them the service, they want them to be e-procurement capable. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. The technological side of business is key for any up-and-coming supplier or even an established supplier. One of the areas that I find when I'm going to recommend a supplier to one of our end users, they will look to see if they have an email address or a website. Websites are so key. If a lot of times now they'll say, do they have a website I need to go out and look at? And I'll say no. Then they really get turned off and don't want to use that supplier. And if a supplier has a Yahoo or Gmail or one of those more generic email addresses, they feel like they're not as serious business people as someone who's taken the investment in getting a, say mine is Sweet Inspirations, a Sweet Inspirations email address. So getting in with technology is so key now, and the e-procurement platform is very similar to shopping, similar to Amazon. So being able to come in with those technological capabilities is paramount these days. It really is. And so I would say focus on being as strong in the area of technology. And I know it's difficult for a small and up-and-coming supplier, but sometimes you can even barter your services with somebody who is an expert in that area and make the exchange that way rather than exchanging of dollars.
Interesting you mentioned that we did start off today camera side business end. In your book, Done, subtitle, say, Goals, Guide to Prioritizing and Perform to Accomplish Your Goals. The first exercise you have is priority worksheet. And the first topic is health and body, then family, then personal development, professional development. And for those who are remaining as employees, career advancement, then vacation, and then there are some others, spiritual life. Was this an intentional order, or how did this order of your priority worksheet come about?
It is not an intentional order. It was designed to cover some of the many areas that I talk to people about all the time, and those are just some of the focuses. I knew I couldn't cover all of them, but I did want to cover the ones that I talk to people about most often, or they talk to me about, you know, mentioning these are the things that are important to me. So everybody's priorities will look differently, but it doesn't mean that the goals cannot look the same.
On your profile, matching that to what you sent, you have a series of training modules and programs and courses you've taken, in addition to the academic accolade, just being a doctor itself is one of the strive to attain. Most of these are in specific areas. For a business owner who is delivering a service, how broad a accumulation of knowledge?
Oh, I believe a broad accumulation of knowledge is necessary. You should be a subject matter expert in your business, but developing other core competencies such as communication, strong writing skills, technology, there are a lot of areas that may be outside of what we actually do. And I find a lot of times that some of the smaller businesses, they may be subject matter experts in their field, but have not taken the time to develop their marketing skills, to develop their communication skills, writing skills. There may be typos in the introductory email or things like that. And I think that we definitely, as business owners and up-and-coming business owners, have to make sure that we are still honing all our core competencies as well as the soft skills. That's typically what they're just called, is soft skills.
We're talking with Dr. Renee Galloway. She's a professor at Pittsburgh University. She heads up the supply of sustainable. She is a published author and a certified coach in the business arena. You're listening to Managing Change. I'm your host. Have a little public service announcement. You know, my friend Jonah DeVore over at Johnson County Library on March the 24th, 6:30, having a Lean Venture series with creative techniques for nimble business. It's made up of three modules, and you'll learn various stages of positioning your business for venture review, angel investing, and just for you to know all areas of opportunity or weakness. You know, a lot of times when we talk about change, we acknowledge that in some cases, even if we don't achieve what we set out, at least we haven't pulled back. At least we haven't become disassociated. Maybe we have lost that zeal simply by staying in the frame, the zone. You're listening to Managing Change, and we'll be right back on this. Change. I'm your host, Ronald Allen, and every Tuesday and Thursday, we bring you an eclectic perspective on all things around change, whether it's the technical aspects of the ProSci methodology of change, which is absolutely superbly substantiated by research, by the diverse population of industries and nationalities that it pulls the information from, right down to its analytics of measuring the return on investment. One of the phrases that I myself have adopted is simply, at what percentage of success does your project rely on the engagement and adoption of your employees? How you set out to measure, validate, reinforce that engagement. That is such a powerful phrase that you could literally take that and run with it. With the support of the ProSci methodology, found that engagement. And tonight, my guest, Dr. Renee Galloway. She is a professor from Pittsburgh University. She is the Biodiversity and Sustainability Coordinator, partner of the Breast Department. She has some 20 plus years in that discipline. And tonight, we're talking her book, primarily her book, Done. Dr. Professor Galloway, I had an email from someone who's listening, and they said, how do you engage, and they were very appreciative of the personal, the human side of business, the beat of the drum, go out there and sell, rather how we need to manage ourselves. The question is, how do you engage children? And I tried to get an idea of what age group, and seem to be maybe teenagers, maybe going through college. The parents seem to want to immerse them in the business. How would you go about it? Do you have a point of view engaging young minds and children of a business owner in the business so that they can?
I would think a young mind is a sponge, so immersing them in the to understand the business, involve them in all aspects, may not, maybe not the financial side of it, but just understanding you manage a business pretty much like you would manage their school, their time management skills, priority setting. Those are areas that you could definitely involve a young person in, because with my book, oftentimes several friends buy them every year for high school graduates so that they can understand when you go to college, you're going to need to prioritize. You're going to need to plan. And the third part of my book is the action step to accomplish your goals. So anytime you set goals, you need to prioritize, plan, and perform. And involving a young person, you can definitely involve them in the planning, prioritizing, and the action steps involved in a business.
I'm glad you mentioned our goals. That was in terms of engaging your employees. Part of what we find in change management is that employees are closed off, shut down, simply not included in even their goals, position, decision-making process. And going through, as I mentioned to you the other day when I sent you back that email saying, I love the book, simple, to the point, and you can read it and then apply it. So I'd like to ask you, in your work with your clients, have you found that you are able to use this part? I like the SMART goal set. What I was thinking is, can you use it to engage their employees so the employees feel more sense being part of the process, contributing?
Have you absolutely. SMART goals actually started in business around employees and teams. So when you give your staff, employees, SMART goals, you're being specific, and you go down the line and say under specific what, why, who, where, which. You know, what are we going to accomplish? Why are we going to do this? Who's going to be involved? Where are we going to where is it going to take place? Identify the requirements. Measurable. How much? How many? I think a lot of times staff or employees don't run with the goals because they're not specific enough. And by putting the SMART goals around a specific, measurable, achievable, how can the goal be accomplished? How realistic is the goal? Relevant. How does it feed into the big picture priority goals? And time bound, giving them all of these specifics so that they can clearly see. We may have it within us as the business owner or the manager or the director, but by not communicating clearly the SMART goals to the staff or the employees is a lot of times why there's a disconnect, because they're not clear.
How can we stretch capabilities of ourselves, our family, employees, if we set the goals to be attained?
I'm sorry, would you repeat that, please?
Sure. How can we stretch our capability, family members, employees? How can we stretch that capability, make ourselves uncomfortable so we really are learning? If some of those goals, as you mentioned here, and appreciate, yes, making them attainable, how do you balance those two different perspectives?
The balance starts with priorities. What's important? Everything can't be important. We can probably do anything, but we should not be doing everything. I believe it certainly begins with what's important.
So with small business, and small businesses, you know, people think of just $1 million. Small businesses, I think, three phases: startup, small, mid-market, middle mid-market, and upper mid-market. And they're all categorized by revenue. But if we take a business, say, with 30, 40 employees, which is a fairly good-sized business, and you look at today's challenges in the market, both with procurement being, do we look at one vendor? Do we look at multiple vendors to deliver that service? How can that supplier position themselves so that they are seen as flexible and at the same time have a baseline structure that gives them stability to be able to deal with the changes, both in supplier diversity, policies and procedures? I know they've significantly changed in payment terms that have been stretched out. Small supply has to go back and get a credit. All those types of nitty-gritty changes which are happening in the market.
I would say every business has to know themselves, because being flexible, but you have to also be realistic. Is this something? I often have suppliers that come in and I ask what they're presenting, and they'll say, you know, well, what is it that you're looking for? That is not the appropriate answer, because you should know your business well enough to say, here are the areas where I'm strong, and be really good at what you're strong at today. But also have a strategy for growing and making the adjustments you need to go to the very next level, because there's nothing that will damage a business worse than going in and biting off more than they can realistically handle at that juncture. But getting the training, getting the information that they need from somebody, oftentimes it could be someone in the very same line of business. I have a small business that I work closely with, and he will help other businesses who are also in the same line of business that he is. So don't be afraid to ask somebody, you know, how did you get from here to there? You know, some networking to find out exactly somebody in the same business line, how they're doing, what they're doing, and what it took for them to grow. I oftentimes connect like businesses to each other, and they actually do talk very closely and get along just fine. There's actually more than enough business for everyone.
It's interesting, Dr. Galloway, from your book on page 90, you actually say that networking and seeking mentors are positive approaches to improving performance. And I have been reaching out to a few that have supply diversity development council, which is how you and I met through technology. Janet Flashner, she is an incredibly efficient I call cramming time personality. When I reach out to her, it's literally hours when I can get a response. And I think that's why that was key on our having you on the program, having this timely conversation with your book in hand. So mentoring, coaching, which you also do.
Yes, that's very important. And you bring up the topic of supplier diversity. And I'd like to touch on that briefly with respect to supplier diversity looks very, very different than it used to many, many years ago, where there were set-asides for small, woman-owned, minority-owned businesses, where now a lot of companies don't have those. They may have goals, but the small businesses oftentimes will be competing against a very large and more seasoned supplier. So another side to supplier diversity is it has to be an oh, by the way. It cannot be a lead-in if you're a small business, woman-owned business, because a lot of companies do have goals, but you have to also be a very strong competitor in that space as well. So that's something I wanted to mention about the face of supplier diversity and how differently it looks from supplier diversity actually probably 10 years ago.
When you say, oh, by the way, just clarify.
Oh, by the way, I am a strong supplier. I am good in this area. Here are the things that I can bring to the table. And oh, by the way, I'm a small business or a diverse business, and if you have small or diverse business goals, then I can meet that as well. in the past, it had been able to be a lead-in. You call a supply, call a company and say, "Hi, I am Renee Galloway, and I am a woman-owned business, or I'm a minority-owned business." But I would call and say, "I am Renee Galloway, and I am a professional coach, supplier diversity, and small business development coach. And, oh, by the way, I am certified by the Minority Supplier Development Council if you have small business and diverse goals."
Okay. So it's an afterthought, not a lead-in, like you said. Okay. I just want to be absolutely sure. Because I know I've spoken to a lot of purchasing managers, small business development administrators, and their frustration is the suppliers in general are not coming in prepared, which you alluded to from the very beginning. Having used a number of different tools to educate suppliers, can you give us a process under which you would advise businesses who are coming into both corporate and government entities? I know they're very different, yet in some cases, some of the people that I've spoken to have had the privilege to speak to. They still have the same kind of track. So you tell me, do you want to talk to the corporate or the government? Either way, give us your take on leading a company through the steps. And I'm not just talking, of course, of getting your CAGE or your EIN. More importantly, of, as I said, finding and doing your homework to be a supplier for, and those types of strategic, tactical moves you need to make to secure those contracts.
The government allows you to, excuse me, self-certify when it comes to.
Dr. Galloway. I just realized the time. I have to go to a little break, but I think that's the perfect. I think that's the perfect topic to start on the other side, okay? We'll be right back.
Why do I listen to Managing Change with Ronald Allen and guests on blogtalkradio.com? Because I get to hear somebody else tell their story that relates to me, issues, changes, and accomplishments that affect my life. Whether you're experiencing a career change, going through a family discussion about change, or an entrepreneur navigating the changes in your industry, Ronald's guests share their stories about winning. They bring solutions to bear on your issues. They get me answers to today's challenges in life. That's why I listen. BlogTalkRadio.com. Search Managing Change in Managing Life's Changes.
You're listening to Ronald Allen on Managing Change here on Blog Talk Radio, and we do invite you to call in if you're a small business owner, if you're an entrepreneur. We have the perfect guest to give you their insight. Dr. Renee Galloway. She is the Supplier Diversity Sustainability Coordinator at Pittsburgh University. She's calling in tonight. You can call in yourself at 347-843-4378. So, Dr. Galloway, we were just talking about the strategic and tactical moves, or gambits, we like to use that term now. That's a book that I'm actually writing, 13 Behavioral Gambits for Success. How do you help businesses use those gambits for favorable outcomes?
What I would say is, again, as you mentioned, going into a corporation is different than going on to, say, the government, FedBiz Ops website to see what opportunities are available, and are you registered in the SAM system. So those are some of the things on the government side. But if you're going into a corporation, the best thing to do is have done your homework on that corporation, on that company. Be prepared when you go in with a very succinct presentation, because oftentimes you'll only have 30 minutes to actually present your business. come in with a capability statement, which gives highlights on what you've done, the experience you have, the certifications, if any, that you have, and any other corporations that are similar to this corporation that you've actually done business with. Because I know in higher education, there are many comparisons to other higher ed institutions. Someone will say, okay, well, what have you done for this institution or that one? So you oftentimes will need to come in with similar experiences or being able to craft your presentation in such a way that while the experience may not be one-to-one, you can show exactly how your experience can work for this company.
Absolutely. We're talking with Dr. Renee Galloway. She is the Supply Diversity and Sustainability Coordinator over at the Pittsburgh University, I should say the University of Pittsburgh. We're talking about her book as well, because we realize that in business, there's a duality, and yet there is a blend of personal desires. Dr. Galloway, again, you talk about reflection in major corporations. When you do go to their website, you do see you'll see weekend work employees. There's time off from work, actual hours, which are paid. Send their employees into community and do a very broad selection. Service, engagement. How can the smaller, myself, how can we stimulate some kind of our mission, part of our business mission, certainly is to connect the community.
How do you assimilate, did you say your business mission?
Right, in terms of there's one or two people in a small business, how could they engage in the outreach as the logical, certainly.
I think it begins with being strategic and knowing your target audience. Everyone is not going to be your customer, so targeting those companies, those organizations that seem to utilize the types of services. Say, for instance, where I'm at. We don't do anything with staff augmentation because we have a temporary agency within the university. So for someone, and I get calls all the time for someone, and it's very clear on our website that we have this all temp staffing agency. So for a small business that's not majoring in executive management or just regular day-to-day staff augmentation, there's probably not any business for them there, and I get lots and lots of calls. So again, I know it probably sounds redundant to make sure that you're going to the websites to make sure that is this something that you, because you don't want to waste your time. It's too valuable when you only have one or two people that are working in a company. So you want to make sure that you're very strategic. I would say when you send out emails, make sure that you can try to find a name on a website so you can personalize that email. I get email blasts from Miss or Madam or whoever a lot of times when my name is clearly out there on my website. So if someone went out to look, they would actually be able to address it to me, not just a broad-brushed approach to it. So making sure that it's a very, very strategic approach, because find out whether it's, say, where I'm at, it's a decentralized, so that means we have 3,000 people who actually may buy any goods or services. but then you have a centralized procurement department where you may be able to reach out to someone in the purchasing department, someone who's actually doing the buying, and they can answer those questions rather than you're not going to be able to walk around to 3,000 people.
That's also part of the defense. They have up to 150,000 now for micro purchase and small business purchases.
Small business purchases?
Right. They have business liaison managers that have up to, not all of them, up to about 150,000 discretionary purchasing through a card, and it's considered part of the micro purchase, small business purchase acquisition. So to your point, people have the ability to develop a relationship. They support them. They can send business your way.
That is what we have at the university, a Institute for Entrepreneurial Excellence, which works with small businesses, not startups, but no matter who they send to the procurement department, the overall procurement rules and regulations still apply, whether it's a small business, whether it's a minority business. It still applies.
Okay. That's an excellent opportunity, an excellent segue. Next question, which talks about respecting yourself, learning from your mistakes, and soliciting constructive feedback. Again, there's only 24 hours in the day, and that's too short. There's only usually one or two people committed to the business early stage. What is your take on that? Right from your book, what has been your observation in helping small business suppliers being able to do that?
What has been my take on small businesses
being able to, when they go through a contract, even if they don't get the contract, in your book, they learn to reflect, have a support, feedback, and always looking for how you can improve.
Yes, absolutely. I would always say, ask for a debriefing. That's what we call them, is a debriefing. If you submit an RFP or an RFQ, request for proposal or request for quote, and you are not the successful awardee, request a debriefing to go in to see what could I have done differently? Just ask those questions and be ready to take constructive feedback on whatever it is that the procurement person is actually saying. Request that. It's so valuable to get that feedback, because if you're hearing some of the same comments or concerns or just feedback in general, maybe they're saying that you're actually just too small to handle this. So you may be able to go back and say, okay, well, maybe I can partner with someone.
That's interesting, because they have that mentor protege program in many large corporations. Will large corporations partner you with other successful or larger entities?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They most certainly will. A lot of the larger corporations, like, say, for instance, Office Depot or Office Max, they will partner with small businesses to give them opportunities to even be first-tier suppliers in some major companies. So absolutely, those mentor protege programs, a lot of the large corporations, the Pepsi Colas, the HP, the Dell, they have really strong mentor protege programs because they are not only interested in providing opportunities for small woman-owned or diverse businesses, they're actually interested in building capacity, meaning that to make sure that these businesses not only are surviving, but they are actually thriving. And some of the programs may not always provide a contract. They may provide you access to their IT people, their marketing people, procurement people, different people within the organization. They'll provide you access to them so that you can grow your business in that way versus paying for those resources.
We're speaking with Dr. Renee Galloway. She's the Supplier Diversity and Sustainability Coordinator at the University of Pittsburgh. And we're talking about the people side, the human side, the passion of going into your goals, your business every day, and finding that you need perhaps a little nudge, a little mentorship, a little projet helping you from the larger suppliers that you're possibly competing with. And as you know, managing change, we talk about those issues as we come up to the 16th annual conference, Supplier Diversity, at the Bally's Casino in the city. So go to our website, managingchange2.com. So go to the Bally's Casino site. You'll see the events being hosted, of course, from our social media. Another event that's coming up at the Burlington County Library in New Jersey is having their Lean Venture Series, Creative Techniques for Nimble Businesses. This is scheduled for Thursday, March the 24th at 6:30. Just go to BurlingtonCountyLibrary.com to see the event hosted. Very affordable and three stages taking your business to venture. You're listening to Change. I'm your host, Alan. You an eclectic perspective. We'll be back. Welcome back to Managing Change. I'm your host, Ronald Allen. And tonight's guest, Dr. Renee Galloway, we are talking about getting things done, your goals. And we're prefacing that in the shadow of supplier diversity, because there is nothing more urgent than you have a deadline to meet on RFP. And pulling together the necessary resources, information, and data so that you can submit your proposal. Dr. Galloway has shared with us the third section of the program. Even if you don't get that contract, there is homework to be done. There's a review to be made of why. And that's an opportunity not just for you to find what capabilities you need to build for your business. It is also an opportunity to build relationships that you intend to develop within your scope of services, within your industry, your line services. So in many cases, constant movement forward, being in the hang of life, certainly is the case. At the same time, if we're constantly moving towards for solutions, looking for answers, developing those relationships and asking questions, you become a partner, a true consultant to that prospective client. And as one of our previous guests mentioned, they were called and were given a last-minute contract because funds had to be spent, and the job had to be done, but they were seen as a fit. So in many cases, the marketing, ongoing marketing, is you personally reaching out to the procurement officer. It's you personally reaching out and just saying, how are things going? How did things go? So, Dr. Galloway, let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, you mentioned before that we should assess ourselves, feed ourselves with prospects. In approaching some of these, each one has different characteristics and personalities. Yet there is common denominator, that is a human, even though at times they may not seem so.
And oh, yeah, they're definitely human.
Yeah, they want to be treated a certain way. In going back, keeping that momentum going and developing that relationship for the next opportunity, what words of advice can you share with us?
Okay, one of the questions that I would say ask is, we oftentimes have multi-year contracts with extension years. Finding out when does the contract expire?
Galloway, we lost you there.
I'm still here.
Okay, go ahead. You said, when does the contract expire?
Finding out when does the contract expire so that you have a clear. I had someone call me today about they had contacted me 6 months ago, and they said, okay, well, I'm going to follow up within 6 months. Make sure when you get someone and you make contact with them to find out as much information as you possibly can, such as if there's a contract in place, when does it expire, you know, being able to say, can I follow up with you within 6 months, 3 months, put a tickler on your calendar, just kind of staying without, you know, being overbearing, just making sure that you stay visible, because in the event that, say, a contract doesn't work out, you will be at the top of that person's list because of your tenacity and your persistence. So ask all the questions. Make sure before you call, you have it already written down, all the questions you want to address while you have that person as a captive audience.
Now, your work as a coach, you deliver coaching advice to business owners, executives, and you just clarify the market.
You said that with business owners?
Right. I know you're a certified coach.
Yes.
You work, again, I just want to clarify, business owners and corporate executives?
Some business owners, yes, some business owners do actually use coaches just for their career purposes. And again, we talked about earlier about making this personal. So as they develop themselves personally to change and being motivated, then those things are the things that transcend into making them better CEOs, COOs, CFOs, managers, directors.
Okay, most people would look at C-class executives and say that they have somewhat of a inflated ego. What is your perspective on executives who come and look for managers? What are some of the characteristics?
The characteristics of an executive would be the same characteristics that person would be even if they were not the executive. Because if I am overbearing, if I am short-tempered, it doesn't matter the level of the person as much as it does. That's just who that person is. So we find a way, just like we do in any other venue, to be able to work with that person. You may get someone who's sharp, somebody who is short-tempered, and you'll say, you know, you manage those people just like you would anyone else, because I wouldn't say that there's a particular characteristic personality-wise. It's just who that person is, and it wouldn't matter if they were the manager or the COO. They were going to be that same type of person because that's just who they are.
Let's throw some statements at you that I found from your book. It's good stuff because I think we can kind of wrap up the program with these codifying statements, which, again, the book is right on point, simple, straightforward. Read it, apply it. Read it again. You'll see a slightly different change in your behavior because of your understanding, because of your ability to execute. So let's look at a few phrases. What are your comments on the following? Guidelines to build a better you. What are a few guidelines that Dr. Galloway would share with her clients on building a better you?
I would say, again, I don't know that there's a broad brush, but finding everybody has personality traits. You know, I say all the time, change is inevitable, but growth is optional. So when we know who we are and the things that we would desire to change, then I would say those are the things that we look at. Do I need to be more persistent? No procrastination? Some of those things we have to look internally and then be able to address those. So as a coach, I spend a lot of time learning and understanding someone before making any recommendations. So because I've written a book, it would be more of a self-examination, or as they call those types of books, self-help books. So you would do a self-assessment and say, I think I recognize this. I am procrastinating. I am resistant to change. I am not a team player. Some of those things that we will recognize and make the adjustments accordingly.
A slight divergent here. Why the name Sweet Inspirations for your website?
Sweet Inspiration is a dual-purpose business. Sweet, okay. Where I have baked goods that I bake on there. I am certified in food safety here in the Allegheny County area. And the inspiration is I always like to inspire others. I feel like I'm pretty good at it, and I actually love to inspire others to be their very best, no matter what it is.
I'm glad I asked the question now, because when I went to the website and I saw the biscuits and the cookies, I was like, oh, no, wait a minute. I'm in trouble. I've got to order some. I've got to order some. But then the question was, wait a minute, this is a serious woman. She's got a PhD. She does procurement stuff, which is hard. Those RFPs are mind-boggling. She's written a book. She's in an institution of higher academic learning, and she bakes cookies?
Yes. I am very passionate about my baking as well. And just knowing that you don't have to be passionate about one single thing. You can be passionate about more than one.
You've just brought up a whole other conversation. I'm going to have you back just because you brought that up, and that is, I know in America, most people see themselves as one mind, one dimension, right? Whereas if you look at the horticulture, my wife and I love horticulture. I love engineering in cars. Can't fix a car to save my life, but I have a schematic of a 959, which is a Porsche 959. The engineering is 20 years old, yet cars today are still being influenced by that engineering. I love change management. I love what I do on the radio. As I joke with people, it's my weekly therapy. and these are the things that make up me. And as I grow and I explore, and I find challenges or challenges and restrictions, I use those different aspects about my personality to push through. Okay, I want to keep the program focused on you. We have a few more moments. Dr. Galloway, here's a question. Have your thoughts, please. Steps to formulate realistic and achievable goals. What steps can you, again, I know you're saying not everyone's in a panacea, but at the same time, what steps would you formulate to realistically and achieve, to realistically and achievable steps to formulate?
I would say always, again, begin with priorities. What's important? What's important to me may not be important to you, but what is important? Again, we can do anything, but we should not be doing everything. And put those SMART goals that make it specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound around every single goal. If you walk through those steps, I believe everyone can achieve. But again, don't overload your plate. Multitasking has become overrated, doing too many things and not finishing much of anything.
I agree with that. And I think to wrap up, this is probably the best question. Keys to performing when things don't go as planned.
When things don't go as planned, you have to be resilient, shake it off and say, okay, that was a learning experience. We can learn from everything that happens, even though it doesn't go as though we planned, but don't discount it as a valuable and a teachable moment.
Dr. Renee Galloway, she is the multi-personality, but in her professional world, she is a supplier diversity and sustainability coordinator at the University of Pittsburgh. She is a published author, she's a certified coach, and she is a certified dessert maker. Of which my wife and I love dessert. I must admit, we've even gone to churches because down the road they have incredible pastries. So I know I'll bring some to go wherever I go. At any rate, Dr. Galloway, thank you.
Yeah.
Your information is definitely on point. The straddling between personal, human touch, business, what we bring into our business, and the need to be educated and plan for the business environment we wish to engage, we have chosen, is very much very important. Because at the end of the day, when we look at our plan, the home thinking, if things are not going right, what do we have to pull back? If things are going well, what do we say to ensure that we can continue in the right course, right? Not perhaps our minds or capabilities. So, Dr. Galloway, would you like to say anything just to wrap up? And, oh, by the way, certainly, how can people reach you?
I can be reached at my website is sweetinspirationsllc.com. And what I would say is my favorite quote by Maya Angelou is, I did them what I knew to do. Now that I know better, I do better.
Dr. Renee Galloway, thank you very much for your time here. Change. Thank you for your time.
You have been listening to Managing Change with your host, Ronald Allen, on Internet Blog Talk Radio with guests providing their perspectives about you, the individual, the family nucleus, your career, your business, and your entrepreneurial spirit. Life's perspectives about managing change. Join Ronald and guests every Tuesday and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. for another episode about managing change on internetblogtalkradio.com. Remember, the program is now showcased on managingchange2.com, where you can search for your favorite guest interview or get in touch with them and start a chat. Enter their forum or start your own public or private group to engage others in managing change. Catch Managing Change internetblogtalkradio.com. Search Managing Change every Tuesday and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Be seeing you.